A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. There broke out a severe persecution of the church in Jerusalem, and all were scattered throughout the countryside of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made a loud lament over him. Saul, meanwhile, was trying to destroy the church. Entering house after house and dragging out men and women, he handed them over for imprisonment. Now those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Thus Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Christ to them. With one accord, the crowds paid attention to what was said by Philip when they had heard it and saw the signs he was doing. For unclean spirits, crying out in a loud voice, came out of many possessed people, and many paralyzed and crippled people were cured. There was a great joy in that city. The word of the Lord. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing praise to the glory of his name. Proclaim his glorious praise. Say to God, how tremendous are your deeds. Let all on earth worship and sing praise to you. Sing praise to your name. Come and see the works of God, his tremendous deeds among the children of Adam. He has changed the sea into dry land. Through the river they pass on foot. Therefore, let us rejoice in him. He rules by his might forever.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to the crowds, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. And whoever believes in me will never thirst. But I told you that although you have seen me, you do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me. And I will not reject anyone who comes to me, because I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will of the one who sent me, that I should not lose anything of what he gave me, but that I should raise it on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I shall raise him on the last day. Verbum Domini. This reading from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8. is the beginning of the first persecution of the church in a wider way. The apostles had been arrested and such, but now we see a persecution. And the reason seems to be that, we know from history, Pontius Pilate had been called back to Rome in 36 AD. He had allowed his cavalry to attack the Samaritans and kill a lot of civilians. So he was called back to Rome to answer for that as an abuse of his power. While he was gone, we see this change in power in Jerusalem. No procurator was left in charge. It was the Sanhedrin. And this became the opportunity for the persecution. However, as we see in so many places to this day, the same principle applies, that persecution becomes an opportunity for evangelization with those who have faith in Christ and hope in him. Difficult situations like this made the church spread out and go to places they didn't plan on at that moment. The Lord had told them to go to the ends of the earth. Well, it took a little nudge. And so they get started with that. And oftentimes, persecution is an opportunity to help fulfill what our Lord is saying here in today's gospel. God does not want anyone to be lost. We see our Lord say it here, that this is the will of him who sent me. I should not lose anything of what he gave me. This is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life. This is God's desire. We see this also in St. Paul, same Paul that is persecuting the church here, will later spread the church even farther than these Jerusalemites. He will go to the western end of the empire. And he knew this principle of Christ's teaching and restated it in 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. God wills that all men be saved. That's God's will. Now, he's not going to force anybody to it. It's always going to be making the offer. And everybody has to make their choice. And that is a key part of today's gospel as well. That some people will not accept the word. They will not believe. Remember how this started. This is a continuation of what had been started the last couple days. And after our Lord had multiplied the loaves and fish and walked on the water and then landed in a boat in Capernaum, he goes to the synagogue and teaches this teaching in that synagogue. We can identify the exact spot because that synagogue is still there. And the place of this teaching is important because the conversation had begun with them saying, "Show us a sign. Moses gave us manna from heaven. You give us a sign so that we may believe in you." Now, this is kind of goofy. He had just multiplied loaves and fish the day before. They had eaten it. They wanted to make him king. He said, no, how about a sign? These are folks who cannot perceive a sign when they see it. And one including this one here, has a suspicion they were just angling for more free bread and fish. This is what the Roman emperor did for his people in Rome. They had conquered so many people, made so many slaves from all over the world, there were no jobs left in Rome. There was this enormous influx of about a third of the empire was slaves who worked for their just to eat. And so people didn't have jobs, and the emperor gave them food as well as games just to keep them a little happy while they ate. They didn't have television. So they're kind of looking for Jesus to do that. How about a sign? And speaking of signs, it was manna from heaven. That happened every day. You got something? And our Lord changes that. You know, he talks about, as we heard yesterday, the bread that will give eternal life. So we want that bread. Yeah. That's good. I am the bread of life. Now, this is the second time our Lord uses that phrase, ego e me. It's a very emphatic form. Just like in English, we say, I'm going to do this. But if somebody is being emphatic, they say, I am, you know, upset or happy or whatever. And that's what our Lord is using, a very emphatic form. He didn't need to say, ego e me, but he does. It's the same phrase he had used when he walked on the water. But there he used it in an absolute form. When he walks on the water, he says, I am, fear not. So I don't like the translations that say, it is I. I understand why they do that. It's nice English. But it misses the point. Jesus is saying, I am, fear not. Because he's also showing that he's the Lord God. Now when he says, I am the bread of life, he is showing how he relates to human beings. They're asking for a sign. He says, I am the bread of life. Manna from heaven didn't keep you from dying. But the bread that I give you will be for eternal life. And if you come to me, you will never hunger, and if you believe in me, you will never thirst. Approaching Jesus, coming closer to him, is an important step for many people. We have to keep in mind, people come to faith in steps. They rarely just all of a sudden, I believe in Jesus, and then become a perfect Christian. At least I don't recognize that in my life. You know, most of us come to grow in faith step by step with a number of mistakes along the way and plenty of confessions to, you know, help us through those mistakes. And this is a very important part of what our Lord wants us to do. Come to him so you'll never hunger, and believe in me so you'll never thirst. He's taking them by steps and stages. And this is something that he does in his own example with the apostles. They're not so perfect at all. They are going, they make lots of mistakes. And one of the great things that we see that I think characterizes the whole of Israelite faith from the beginning with Abram all the way through the book of Revelation, that they recognize, they're honest enough to admit their mistakes and their sins, and they put them in the Bible. So now we read about their sins all the time, but it also reminds us that they had to grow in faith, and so do we. The apostles had to grow in faith, so do we. And Christ recognizes that need to grow in faith step by step, approaching him first, But then coming as he approached, like the apostles did when they followed him, they came to believe. And even then, they still had a lot of trouble, as we will see in the rest of the gospel, all the way through Gethsemane. And even on Easter, they have trouble believing. It doesn't come without a struggle because of a variety of issues, our sins, and also our fear of being made fools. And there are a lot of reasons that we hold back. But he stays with us so that we keep moving to those new levels of faith in him. And the goal for him is, as I said, that he does not want to reject us. He stays faithful. St. Paul talks about that. Even when we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. And this is a very important part, that as we keep coming back to him and growing more deeply in faith, his goal is not to reject us, and not to lose us, but to raise us on the last day, so that we may have eternal life and he may raise us up on the last day. This is connected with the dispersal of the church. In this persecution, they then went out to people they thought were totally lost. We'll see, as this goes on, that Philip went to a city of Samaria. The Jews did not like the Samaritans and vice versa, but that's where he goes. And the Lord works signs through him, and he calls people to Christ, and they come. And we'll see that as the church continues to spread out, often because of persecutions, Paul keeps going from place to place because he keeps getting kicked out or put in jail and then kicked out after he's been in jail, as in Philippi. And it keeps him moving on. And wherever he goes, people come to Christ. And this is something that we then have to pay attention to. We don't find that even a lot of Catholics are coming to church. We don't find that a lot of Catholics are following the laws of God in the church. That's just a part of a reality, and is happening on many levels. The rates of abortion and divorce and other issues are about the same among Catholics as a whole, not church-going Catholics, but among Catholics as a whole, as it is in the rest of society. These are realities. And we have to pay attention to the opportunities to not say, well, they're lost, that's it. No. How do we go to them and recognize the thirst that they have? In many ways, people outside remind me of dogs with an old bone. If you see a dog with an old bone and you try to take it from that dog, say, that's nasty. And you just wait for the growl, if not the bite. But if you take a nice, fresh steak, don't touch his bone, just show him a steak. He drops that and his mouth is watering. And he wants that steak. We have to approach many people in our society the way we would a dog with an old bone. Offering them the good news, that bread of life, the blood of Christ that gives them eternal life, letting them know what this good news does for us, how this transforms us, how we've grown step by step, sharing that with them and letting them know that on the other side of sin, life is really better. Letting them know the stake that God wants them to have, that life that he offers, rather than the ways of death. And, you know, sometimes we have to remind them of that. But to focus on, this is what our Lord is offering you, and he doesn't want you lost. Don't give up. And for us not to give up on anyone, to go out to the highways and byways, and to bring this good news as these dispersed, persecuted first disciples did, and trust that our Lord will bring about a transformation in the church as much as he did a transformation of Samaria.